I couldn't think of any better place to be than to be at church worshiping the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter number 8. It's a very pivotal point in the transition in the church age in the book of Acts here. Doctrinally, you can see a lot of things going on and heading direction from the Jews to the Gentiles. Eventually, in the next chapter, the Apostle Paul will be saved and be leading over from Peter to Paul. Transition us over from that time of the church age where God's going from the Jews primarily to whosoever will. Thank God He saves whosoever will. In the book of Acts, is one. This chapter is one of those points where you start to see some indication of that movement. The Ethiopian eunuch gets saved in the end of the chapter. We'll preach a little bit on him today. There's a revival that takes place in Samaria in the beginning part of the chapter, and that's where we'll start this morning, leading into that witnessing of Philip to the eunuch. I'm going to preach on this thought today, the great need today, and that is to be a witness. To be a witness. Amen. They sung about that in that second song they sung, amen, that God might flow through me, make me a witness to this world. That others might see Jesus Christ through me. And God shows the importance of a witness through the practical things that take place in this chapter. When He starts off, let's just do some reading and we'll get into it in verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 8. What's the first word there? Amen. Bible said, and Saul was consenting unto his death. Now, of course, Acts chapter number 7 was the death of who? Stephen. Amen. Saul was the Apostle Paul that got saved in the next chapter. But Saul was consenting unto his death, that is the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the persecution arose at Jerusalem, and it began to spread the people abroad. And you see, persecution is an evil thing, but actually you could see what exactly God had planned in Acts chapter number 1 was to send that thing abroad. Where He said, but when you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And that is that witness flowing out through the book of Acts. And there's persecution at Jerusalem, so they were scattered to Judea and into Samaria, except the apostles. And eventually you'll see it going to the uttermost parts of the earth. So God's work is in action even in the midst of our troubles. Sometimes all we see is the persecution and the chaos, but God sees His movement into the lives of God's people and the world abroad. The Bible said, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the Word. There it is, Acts 1 and 8, right in action. When you go and you look at the Word of God and see it start to be betrayed in your own life. It's exciting, amen. The Bible said, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people were with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So the revival is taking place in Samaria. Great joy is taking place. Philip is in the midst preaching to these people. The people are giving heed. And in the midst of us going on, noise gets abroad what's going on in Jerusalem. And they send the apostles down. That's what you would read if you continued on reading. And they come down there and minister to the people likewise. And so many are getting saved. The great revival is breaking out in Samaria. What an exciting time. The Bible says down in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip while Philip was in Samaria, while the revival is going on, while droves are getting saved, God's doing a work, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. I mean, if you just read that one verse, you'd think, well, here's a man, Philip, being used of God to help strike a great revival in Samaria. Multitudes are being saved, and even people are being healed in that transitional time. Great joy is in the city. God is moving. Some of the apostles just came down from Jerusalem and continue to work on the lives of people. And God takes Philip out of the midst of the revival and says, go down to a desert. Get away from all the action, get away from all the excitement, and go in another direction. And I think there's a principle that God's showing us here, that there's a great need to be a witness, even if it is just the one person.
Yeah.
Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the Word of God this morning. Brother D, how about pray for us?
Lord God Almighty, we just thank You for another day. Thank You for the written of Your Word, Lord God, already today, Lord. And I pray that You meet with us today, Lord, and help the pastor and the preachers. Lord, speak to each and every one of our hearts, Lord, and give us what we need, Lord. We are desperately in need, God. And Lord, do help us to be a witness, Lord, and maybe encourage us through the preaching this morning to do so. God, I do pray if anyone here is lost, Lord, that You save us before it's too late. Lord, have Thy will and way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we'd all have to be very foolish and very ignorant of the age that we're living to not see that there is an important need for revival in our time. Just as there was an important need and very needy timing at Samaria, that there was needing a movement of God in that city. There was much wickedness going on. There was much havoc being made of the church. There was much persecution on the people of God. And there was a great need for revival in the age, in this time, in Samaria's time. If we look around in America today, you'd have to say there's a great need for revival. If you look around at churches today, you'd have to say there's a great need for revival. Hey, if we look around at our own selves, I'd have to say there's a great need for revival. Amen. There's a great need for returning. That's what revival means. Recalling the activity and awakening of the spiritual consciousness, a renewal of mind and memory, a comfort and a refreshing of joy. Hey, in the deep depression and great darkness of our age, there's a need for revival in America, there's a need for revival in our churches, but there's a need for revival in our own lives. Samaria was in the need of revival, and God sent revival their way. The Bible said in Psalms 85 and verse 6, amen, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Even in the midst of darkness, we have seen that God has sent revival down through ages, amen. He said in Psalms 138 and verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Even in the midst of the troublous times, God can show up and outdo the circumstances that we're in. He said, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. God sent revival to Samaria. But there's some things that took place that brought revival to Samaria. Now, revival doesn't come at some easy form. Amen. You're not going to get a recalling of spiritual mindedness and a joy back in your heart just by flipping over and rolling out the bed and coming to church this morning.
Amen.
It's not going to come easy in your life. It's not going to come easy to the church. And it's never came easy to a nation of people to be revived. Amen. It cost people something to get revived. Hey, what did it take to spark even revival interest in the people? Hey, why is it people living so callous? And you know, well, we just come to church. We came last Sunday. We're just come again. We go through the motions. There's no realness. There's no excitement. There's no expectation of God and God's movement. Hey, in Samaria here, there was great persecution, great darkness. Amen. You thought, why do we need anything? How are we going to even get out of the mess that we're in? But sometimes God sends trouble our way to spark our interest, to recall something in our soul, to say, hey, this is a miserable life to live in. You got to get some relief, amen. You got to get out of the mess you're in. And what sparked revival to Samaria, first of all, was persecution against the people. You know, as long as we live in ease, we don't see any need for God. Isn't that unshamed? I mean, God has blessed our America, our nation, hand over fist, and we've got comfortable in our blessings and our prosperity, and we see no need for God. Hey, amen. We get blessed in the church. Hey, visitors are coming. Hey, God's showing up. We're getting a little bit of singing, a little bit of preaching. Hey, God's just showing His blessings every now and again. And we say, well, what do we really need? Everything. We're comfortable. We're at ease inside. Hey, you better be careful getting comfortable, amen. And expecting, amen, or neglecting, amen, the need to have God show up in your midst. You know what God will do? God will send persecution. God sent trouble down to Samaria. I mean Jerusalem. God sent trouble down to His people, amen, and spun them out towards Samaria. What God done to fan revival was send persecution to the people. The Bible said in verse 1, and Saul was consenting into his death. Here they were comfortable in Jerusalem. They were comfortable with the mega church that God had let them build. They were comforted in the fact that they had received their Messiah and repented of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was blowing through the place in Jerusalem. I was saving people by drills. Thousands upon thousands of people are getting saved. Amen. Hey, God is moving in the midst. Hey, but somewhere down the line they got kind of comfortable. They got at ease. And it stopped the fan of revival. Because God had told them early on, before He ever saw saved thousands of them, before there was ever a Pentecost, and St. Peter preached, and souls were being saved, and the outreach was going forth, and He told them in Acts 1:8, hey, but the power shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. They had stopped. They had got comfortable with Jerusalem. They had got comfortable with, you know, like that kind of saying that we pick up my four and no more. We're satisfied. We're okay. What's the need of anybody else? My family's in church today. What's the need of worrying about my neighbor? What's the need of worrying about some missionary needing help around the world? Amen. What's the need of trying to be a witness at Walmart or on the job or at school? Hey, we're at church today. We got our fine clothing on. We got our Bible. We know God saves, and we're kind of at ease. You know what God sent? God sent persecution. He sent the persecution to wake up the reality. Hey, maybe some of the trouble in your life God is sending is maybe trying to wake up you to see the need of why God left you here. God didn't let you here just to enjoy the American dream and enjoy the blessings of society and just reap in all the goodness of God and breathe in His good air and live for yourself. God left you here to be a witness, amen. Hey, God saved you and gave you power that you'd be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. But the Jerusalem church had got comfortable. So what did God do to send revival down towards Samaria? God sent persecution. Here comes Paul, breathing out threatenings, making havoc of the church in verse 3, entering every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. God sparked revival with persecution. And the persecution, of course, leads to prayer. Do you know why we don't pray? We don't need to pray.
Yeah, amen.
We got everything. Why does need to call on God? I mean, we just show up and God shows up. Hey, God, we live in America, not in a third world country. It's just normal that God's going to be good to America. You know? Hey, we got a good Bible believing church, and we stand on the King James Bible, and we know Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and we got good friends. Hey, what's the need to pray?
Yep.
You know what God do? God has sent persecution your way, and He'll put you on your face. Hey, revival comes at a cost, amen. Hey, great revivals have been sparked by persecution, a despair and a darkness in times that cost and provoke people to call on God and ask God to intervene and do something in their lives.
Yep.
Even in 2 Chronicles, the verse that people use for revival for America, if not that thy people who are called by my name will humble themselves. What they got to do? They got to seek God. They got to pray. They got to turn to God. They got to say, we need some help. We need some relief. Amen. Hey, persecution sparks prayer. Amen.
Yep.
I began to persecute the people, and there's no doubt that they began to fall on their knees. I'm sure when they started hailing in mamas and daddies in the prison, that mama and children started praying. Aunts and uncles started praying. Church members started pray. Hey, God, give us some relief. Stephen's dead. Now they're taking others. And this Saul's just freaking havoc. He's an evil man. Would you intervene and do something? People began to pray unto God.
Yep.
The Bible comes at the cost of persecution, which leads to prayer, which will provoke people to begin to preach. There's never been revival without a movement of God's preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the Word. Everywhere. Who? They that were scattered abroad. You know who began to preach in verse 4? Everybody that had a voice. Now, I'll just make this statement. We'll move along because I'm making this very practical of what's going on in verse 4. And it is very practical, amen. When it comes to the office of the church, God has always used men. God chose men as deacons in your Bible. God chose men as apostles, amen. Hey, God chose men to preach the Word of God and lead people in the way of God, amen. Hey, not a weaker vessel, which is the women, but they got their place. But it comes to preaching the Word of God. They were scattered about. Everybody can voice what God can do for a sinner. Everybody can be a witness, amen. It's not just for the men, it's for ladies also. It's not for the adults, it's for the children also. They began to be spread abroad, and they began to preach. They began to tell the gospel. They began to witness. Amen. And establish a work of God.
Amen.
They were witnesses. They preached. Even the Bible said in verse 5, Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Hey, if you're going to preach, you've got to preach the Scriptures. You've got to preach about sin and separation and salvation through the Savior Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hey, you've got to have some Bible code preaching that could take place in revival.
Amen.
Persecution provoked the prayer. Prayer lead the men coming in and women spread the gospel again to preach. Amen. And you know what happened? There was a performance. I mean, all the prayer in the world, all the persecution that provokes the prayer, and all the preaching in the world, is it going to do any good if it falls on deaf ears? Oh, God will use it to count against you at the day of judgment. But as far as it being beneficial you in this life, you're going to have to take heed to what thus saith the Word of God. You know what he said in James 1 and 12? Be not hearers of the word only, deceiving your own selves. People are being deceived. Why? Because all they're doing is hearing, and that's all they're doing. I mean, we're very flattered. Thank you all for coming for church, coming to church today and enjoying the blessings of God and just dressing up and putting on a smile. But if you're not going to take heed to the word of God, you're wasting your time and God.
Amen.
He says, it's kind of rude. That runs off members. Don't try to run off nobody. Not even trying to run off a visitor. Hey, but don't just come in here and sit on your seat and do nothing and leave doing nothing. Amen. Hey, let the Word of God affect your life. Hey, revival move when people started taking heed to the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
You know why there's no revival in your soul? You know why there's no revival breaking out in the church in massiveness? You know why there's no revival in America? Because people have stopped taking heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
Brother spoke on that giving heed and devotion this morning. Hey, as that light shining in a dark place, hey, you do well that you take heed. It'll benefit your life and it'll benefit others. You know what they did? They gave heed to the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible said in verses number 6, and the people with one accord gave what? Heed. Unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The people with one accord. There's an accordance. There's a unity. Of people receiving God's Word. You know what? That shows you a proof of what's going on in our age. You know, individually, you can give heed in one accord with yourself and say, you know what? Me and God, I'm getting right. I confess my sin. And God can bring revival to your soul. But you know how much more it's going to take to have it in the church? In one accord. Not only you, but your brothers and sisters got to get in one accord. We're going to have to lay down our differences, amen, and not our standards and not the Word of God, but we're going to have to lay down our feelings, amen. Hey, the way we got to come clean the way we treated others and treated God and give heed and get together in one accord, and God will bring revival in a local church. You say, that's going to be very far and stretched. You see that happen in churches, and I'll agree it probably is. Because of the way people are so selfish and so full of their sin. You know what that leads to the next step? If it's that hard to have it in an individual church, how hard do you think it'll be in America?
Right.
I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet, but the world we're living in have rejected the authority of the Word of God and have killed babies and committed sodomy and smitting God's face, and we think a revival's going to break in America. They got to come together in one accord, and sad to say, it don't look like it. Coming, evil men are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Hey, we're going home to be with God, but even though there's wickedness in our land, and it's a far stretch of our imagination to have a great revival breathe through America again, we hopefully maybe can have it in our church, but you sure can have it in your own soul.
Yep.
You can give heed to the preaching of the Word of God.
Yep.
You got the choice this morning.
That's right.
You've got to be a performance. You know what happens when revival takes place? Joy comes out. Psalms 85 and 6, will thou not revive us again that thy people may what? Rejoice in thee. Persecution sparked it. Praying began to go forth. Preaching went forth around the people. Performance, they began to give heed, and then they began to praise the Lord. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Revival is breathed into place in the area of Samaria. It's being spread. The gospel is going forth. In the midst of the great movement of God, God shows us, I believe, a very important principle of not getting caught up in the movement and caught up in everything that's going on and forgetting others that are immediately around us. God takes this man that was used to spark and spearhead the movement in Samaria and cause revival to break forth. And he comes to that one individual and says, boy, you've done a great thing right here and that's great. Now I need you to go here. He said, where are we going now? We went to Samaria. I've read my Bible. Jerusalem, Samaria. Let's go to the uttermost parts of the world. Hey, we're going to have a great revival break out somewhere else. And God sends him down to a desert where there's one man. Are you willing to go to one? Oh, all the attention that's on Philip in Samaria and the movement of God is taking place. Amen. And God's taking him all out in the desert all alone just to witness the one individual. You know what? Hey, God left the 99 to seek after one. God chose the importance of just an individual out there. Amen. Hey, there's an important need for all of us today to get a hold in our hearts. Hey, we ought to be praying for revival and God to move. Hey, but we better start giving heed to the Word of God and going for the great need today. And that's to be an individual witness to others. Do you know what revival was produced by to start with? It was that movement of those going forth and preaching and being a witness. Do you know what revival produced in the end? It was being a witness. It was a witness that sparked the movement of revival to start with. And when revival was over, it produced a witness out of them. Hey, if we want revival, we're going to have to start being a witness. And if you got revival, you go be a witness. Amen. Hey, Philip was in the movement of God and saw the hand of God in the need of being a witness to everybody. I love a great movement of God. I love great services where we shout and sing and praise God and have a great time and God breathes through and blows and moves on hearts and changes lives. There's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like a great revival in the Spirit of God and lives being changed. Hey, but once it's over, it's time to get up and go be a witness to your neighbor. Amen. They're still lost. While we shout it out Sunday morning to have a great time and God blesses and God breathes and the choir sings beautiful and the special speech thing has got a touch on it and the preacher's coming forth from the Word of God and we leave and say, boy, that was good. Thank God for that. Is that all it is just to have a good time and leave and do nothing for God? No, it's time that you leave out in the world. Hey, I've seen it on the door frames of people's churches. Amen. Now you're entering into the mission field. Now it's time to go forth and be a witness. Amen. Hey, thank God for the great time and the movement of God. But is that all we're doing? Is just every Sunday having a great time and shouting and having victory and throughout the week telling nobody about Jesus and not reaching out to the world? Hey, this is just a fueling station to go forth and work for God. Amen. Revival's great and good times are wonderful and I love to have them myself, but who will go and tell their co-worker? Who's going to go this week and tell their neighbor or their family members or even their enemies? Amen. He said, well, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses.
Yep.
Where are the witnesses today? Where are those that are testifying for another, and that is Jesus and not ourselves, to be a witness? God told Philip to go. We are commissioned to go. As we saw, I've quoted over and over Acts 1 and 8, amen. They were having a great time in Jerusalem. Thousands were being saved. The town was set on fire. But we are to go with the gospel and preach and be a witness, amen. Hey, the Bible said in Acts alone about being a witness, he said, ye shall be witnesses, Acts 1 and 8. Acts 2 and 20, 32 in Pentecost, he said, we all are witnesses. That's for everybody, amen. In Acts 5 and 32, he said, we are His witnesses. I'm not here to promote my agenda. I'm not here to promote myself. I'm not here to promote Hopewell. I'm here to promote Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's one thing to invite people to church, and that's a good thing you ought to. But we need to be inviting people to the saving Savior, Jesus Christ, and what the blood of Jesus Christ can do to a sinful soul. Amen. We are His witnesses, he said. You know what the problem is when you start working like that? The Bible said in Acts, I didn't even write the reference down, but it's right between chapter 5 and chapter 10 because I wrote them in order. He said that the devil and the world will set up false witnesses.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But Acts 10 and 39, we are still witnesses, amen, of all things. We're the witness of everything of the Lord. And Acts 13 and 31, he said, we're to witness unto the people. We're to be witnesses. We're to reach out. That's what God left you here to do. There's a great need, and there's a need to be a witness. You say, who can do it? Everybody. What I'm preaching about today is for everybody. For those in the choir, to those on the back bench, amen. Hey, for those that were drug in, some that were carried in, hey, some that came willingly, amen. Hey, if you're saved by the good grace of God, hey, you're to be a witness, and the message is for all, amen. Go forth and be a witness for Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't get out much, but where do you go? You're not in a cave. You're not caught up by yourself. Somebody's coming by your way. You're going by somebody else. Hey, tell them about Jesus Christ. Isaiah said in Isaiah 43 and 11 and 12, he said, I am the Lord. That's what the Lord said. Look at this. Listen to the Lord. He said, and beside me, there's no Savior. You know what the Lord said about Himself in the Bible? He said, I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. He went on to say this now. Listen, we know what He is. He said, I have declared and have saved. Has God not done that? The Lord speaking of Himself. He's the Savior. He said, I've declared, I have saved. He said, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. He said, He's telling Israel, He said, there was nobody except me. I'm the one that showed up to you. I saved you. I declared unto you. And I showed you my mighty hand. You know what He said? He goes on to say, therefore. Because God is there. Because He is the Savior. Because He has saved your soul. Because He has declared unto you. Because you do know Him. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Isn't that amazing? In that Old Testament book, we see that God's showing that He is God. We're to be witnesses. You know what we struggle out? Well, how do we do it? Something to be a witness. Well, how do I be a witness? How do I show forth Jesus Christ to the world? Well, He ought to flow through you, right? You got to do, like the songs kind of went right in hand with it all, you know? Hey, God took you out of Egypt, and you need to ask Him to take Egypt out of you. You ain't going to live in the world and act like the world and be a witness of Jesus Christ. God saved you from your sin. I am God, He said, and I am the Savior. I have saved. I have declared. Hey, you are my witnesses. Don't tell people I am the Lord. You know what the problem is? When we speak out of the Lord, speak out of our mouths for the Lord to somebody else, our mouths and our bodies are speaking something contrary to what our mouth is speaking. They're not seeing Jesus Christ in us. So how do we be a witness? Let me show you three practical things that's very clearly here in this passage I see through Philip. How did Philip go be a witness? Number one, he listened to the Spirit. Now you listen to the Spirit. We listen to everything else. We're so easily influenced. We listen to gossip. We listen to garbage. We listen to the satanic influence of this world. We listen to our stinking flesh. But where's the listening of the Spirit? You know what Philip did? You know how he was a witness? Philip was sensitive to the movement of God in his life. Do you know the Spirit of God will speak to you?
Amen.
I'm not talking about some audible voice and some bright cloud and some lightning bolt spiking you in your head. I'm talking about through reading your Bible, God will show you something out of His book. I'm talking about through prayer and communion with God. Hey, God will press on your spirit to speak up for Him and influence you to do something that's right. That's the Spirit of God. And since Philip was sensitive and listen to the Spirit of God. Look in verse 26. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. I mean, can I remind you, Philip's in the midst of a great revival. Philip's in the midst of God moving and thousands being saved in Samaria. And God showed up. Do you know where God will speak to you? When you're right with Him. You know why you're not hearing the voice of God? You're far away from Him. You're not listening. Because you're listening to too much junk. You're cramming too much other mess in your ears and influencing your spirit. Yep. Philip's in the midst of revival. God is moving. And the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Well, God had to really speak really clear. I mean, here's a man in the midst of revival, and God's moving, and people are being saved, and multitudes are being helped. And God says, leave? You sure? Verse 29, the Bible said, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." You know what I see about Philip? What made him a great witness? He was a man that listened to the Spirit of God. He goes wherever God sends. He does whatever God tells him. He says what he's supposed to say. And he returns rejoicing. Amen. The Holy Spirit never leads contrary to the Scriptures. And God led this man and he listened to God.
Yep.
You've got to speak to your heart. He said, give that person a gospel tract. Tell that person what God has done for you. Go be a witness. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. And He's trying to influence you and lead you in the right direction. And we will not listen to God. Why? Because we're so caught up in the frenzy of the world. And we're so caught up with everything that's going on. We don't have time for God. We don't have time for others. We got to go fill our own lustful desires. And we're not listening to God. Have you ever learned just to listen to the Lord? I mean, us as parents, doesn't that drive you up the wall when your kids just won't listen? Why won't they listen? Because their mind's somewhere else. They've got their minds on the things they want to go do, and you leave them something to do, and they forget all about it because they're so caught up in everything that they got going on. You know what I know about the Lord? Sometimes God will show you the way you treat others through the way your children treat you or your spouse does. You say, they just treat me like garbage. You ever thought that maybe God's trying to show you how you treat Him? You reap what you sow. That's still Bible, right? God knows how to show you what's going on. But God forbid we think that we treated God like that. God knows how to do it. You know what the problem is? We got our ears shut. You know, if you're going to be a witness, you're going to have to learn to listen to the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Go forward for Him. You're going to have to learn to listen to the Spirit. And the Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Scriptures. The Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to God's movement in your life. What did Philip do? He listened. You want me to go south? You want me to go to the desert? You want me to lead this great revival? You wonder if maybe he might be battled with the Lord a little bit in prayer and thought, man, you sure it is? You ever battled with the Lord? You sure it is? Yeah, I'm not. I surely wouldn't cause you to maybe influence you to want to jump hastily. Amen. You need to slow down and realize it's God. But once God makes it clear, you need to go. You got to face your fear. You got to face your doubts. Amen. And God's leading. God's in it. You got to say, "All right, God, let's go." You mean speak to Him? He's about 8 foot tall. He's a mean looking guy. He's rough. They ain't never listened before. And in your mind, you're battling with the Lord and God's spirit pressing in your heart. It ain't the devil telling you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Devil's not leading you to try to tell somebody that Jesus Christ can save their soul from hell.
Amen.
That's the Spirit of the Lord influencing you to be a witness. He listens to the Spirit. And he labors with a seriousness. Maybe that's the reason why we don't be too much of a witness. We hate to labor. We don't want anything that involves work. We don't want anything that gets us out of our comfort zone. You know what the Lord told him? He said, go down to the desert. I'm in Jerusalem. I'm in Samaria. A revival's broke out. People are moving. God's doing something. And you want me to go to the desert? You have lost your mind, God. That direction. Hey, you got to get some seriousness in your soul and be willing to labor for God and go if you got to go out of your comfort zone.
Right.
Well, I'm not the kind that speaks real good. Well, hey, you got to trust God. God told you to say.
Amen.
We can't play Moses all our lives. Everybody wants to be Moses. Lord, I can't speak well.
Yeah.
Surely you're sending somebody else. You know what? I know you want me to go over there and talk to them people about the Lord, but next time I get to church, I'm asking the preacher to go see them. And there's nothing wrong with that. Anybody visiting somebody else, we need more people to want somebody to go talk to somebody about the Lord. But God might just want to use you. Do you know that you got a makeup in your life and God has made you in such a fashion where you could be the one to reach somebody stronger than anybody else could? You got something in your life that can be a clear testimony if you just be willing to face your fear and labor real serious for God. Stop complaining. It's desert. Not me, it's got to be somebody else. I can't speak well. I don't even really know Bible that good. Hey, why would God ask you then? You got to get serious, amen. You got to get involved. It's time for everybody to start being a witness for Jesus Christ. Laboring seriously. You know what the Bible shows me about Philip? He listened to the Spirit, but he labored seriously. He got out of his comfort zone and he went with urgency. Look in verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. There was urgency in the heart of Philip. Where's our urgency? We've lost the fact that the Lord's coming back. That today could be our last day. That if we're going to do something, we need to do it today, not put it off to tomorrow. Why are we waiting and postponing what God wants us to do? We need to be witnesses. Some, you know what? How many, you live long enough in this thing called Christianity, and you've been born again and you're going to heaven. There's been times people, God spoke in your heart about people, and you probably got some regrets where you didn't speak up that you no longer can talk to them now because you done been to their funeral. Yep. But there were times in your life the Spirit of God said, let's go be a witness. And the Spirit of God spoke to you, but you didn't listen to the Spirit because it maybe caused you to maybe get out of your comfort zone or face your fear or maybe travel further than you wanted to travel or cost you a little more effort than you wanted to put involved in it. But now they're burning in hell and you wish that God you had another chance to talk to them. Amen. Stuff like that will happen. Amen. I told you several times, I remember when you used to work at the mill, this thing still haunts me to the day. There's things that will haunt you till you go home to be with Jesus for not listening to the Spirit of God.
Yep.
I remember I worked third shift, man. I'm tired. Ready to go home and get in my bed. Going down number one, I'm a couple of miles from the road, right about at Everett's Mill, and the guys broke down on the side of the road, and the Spirit of God said, stop and be a witness. And I say, no. And I go a mile. And the Spirit of God said, you need to go back and talk to that guy. He needs to be spoke to about Jesus Christ. No, I'll do it later. Ain't going to be no later. What kind of lie is that?
Amen.
I'm tired. I've worked all night. Somebody else will tell him. I still remember today. And I went too many miles and decided to quit fighting with God and turned around. When I got there, he's already gone. Who was he? I have no clue. But I know one thing. I know the Spirit of God had pressed on my heart to speak to him because of laziness. And maybe postponing and thinking somebody else would take care of it. I spun the opportunity away and never got to tell him about Jesus. You said, preacher, well, maybe somebody else did. I sure hope they did. But I know one thing. I didn't listen.
Right.
And we can play it off and say, well, somebody else will get them. We're in the Bible Belt. Somebody else will go tell them about Jesus. Hey, but God puts people on your heart and presses on your heart for a reason.
Amen.
You got to get serious. He ran. The Bible said in verse 30, the Bible said, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You got to labor serious. Why? Because the world is confused. They don't know. He didn't know. But you know what I do know? He was looking. He was seeking. Something that provoked this eunuch to get into the book of Isaiah to read the Scriptures, by the way. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
People think, well, just the original Scriptures are inspired. You know what he read? He read the Scriptures. This eunuch had the inspired Word of God. But he was confused. But he wanted God. Hey, there's people out there that want God, amen. They're laughing it off with jokes about their riders living in their hell raising. But they're just like you and I were. They're miserable deep down in their soul.
Amen.
We forgot today we were in that state and we were miserable and we needed relief. And we laughed it off and acted like we were having a good time. But when the dust settled and the lights went out, we knew something was missing.
Amen.
We're searching in the world, searching for straws, and they're trying and reaching out. Hey, and somebody needs to get serious and tell them about Jesus. Use some wisdom. Labor seriously. Sometimes it might have to take to let some friends walk away and get on them one-on-one. Hey, but you better use some wisdom. You better get urgent. Hey, you better try to help those that are confused in this world. This guy was looking for Jesus and didn't even know it. He's reading the book of Isaiah for a reason. This world's looking for God and don't even know it. You know what I realized after I got saved? My whole life I searched for Jesus and didn't even know I was looking for Him. Isn't that shocking? When you were lost, you were looking for Jesus and didn't know who you was looking for. You said, "Rich, I never looked for Jesus. I wasn't raised in church." I wasn't either. But after I got saved, the light come on and I realized I was looking for Jesus. What was I looking for? I was looking for that peace in my heart. I was looking for that comfort. I thought I'd get it in drugs and dope and riotous living. But I was seeking for that thing to satisfy my soul. I was ultimately looking for the answer, but I didn't know where to find it. And the world is simply looking for Jesus. They just don't realize who they're looking for. Everybody wants deep down peace and joy. Everybody wants that relief from that condemnation that's on them. But they don't realize what they need. He didn't understand. They don't understand. That's why they act like they act and dress how they dress and talk how they talk. They just don't realize what they need. But the light's been cut on in your soul and you're to be a witness to them. You got to get serious. Philip was serious. He listened to the Spirit. He labored with seriousness. And boy, I like this. You say, what do we do when we get to that point? I don't know what to say. How am I going to reach them? What did Philip do? Philip simply listened to the Spirit. He labored with a seriousness. And he simply loaded him with the Savior. Can't you tell somebody about Him? The Rose of Sharon. The Lily of the Valley. The Savior of all mankind. You say, I don't know what to tell them. Hey, just tell them what God done for you. Tell them about the sweetest man that ever entered into your life. And you know it wasn't your husband. That's why you fuss with him. Amen. I'm joking. They loaded him with the Savior. You know what he did? Look in verse 32. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before a shear, so he opened out his mouth. You know what he did? He preached the blood atonement. He said, this guy was the Savior. He shed His blood for your sins. He took the same Scripture and He preached it in Jesus. That lamb that was led to the slaughter, that opened not His mouth, that was the darling Son of God. That was God manifest in the flesh. That was God with the blood of God rolling through His veins. Hey, He said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Hey, He said He purchased the church with His own blood. That was the blood of God that was shed for you.
Amen.
God shed His blood for you. Hey, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's still the blood atonement. It's still the bloody religion. Yes, it is. And the blood can wash away your sin. Can make you white as snow. It's what God's blood can do to sin. He loaded him with the Savior. He preached the blood atonement, the redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He preached the deity of Jesus Christ. What is that? That's simply that Jesus Christ was very God. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same Scriptures, and preached unto him Jesus. He loaded him with the Savior. Hey, that was God that hung on that cross. That wasn't just another prophet or another guy. That wasn't some historical figure in history. That was God hanging there between heaven and earth that had been beaten and marred and spit upon and ultimately pierced and gave up His own life and went down the heart of hell. Amen. And took the keys of death and hell. Went down to the paradise and led captivity captive. And 3 days later got up from the grave for the redemption of mankind. That was God Almighty.
Yep.
And when he showed up to Thomas with all his doubts, when he wasn't there, and when Thomas finally saw him, he said, hey, stick your hand right here. He said, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
He loaded him with the Savior. I know a man that can wash your sins away.
Yeah.
That old song says, I know a man that can.
Amen.
I can't heal blinded eyes. I can't take the sin away out of your life, but I know a man that can. I can't give you the peace you need, but I know a man that can. He loaded him with the Savior. He simply preached the gospel unto him. The Bible said in verse 37, the guy eunuch came to him and said, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? He would think, well, I just need to get in water and that's going to wash it all away. I just joined the church. Everybody's got a way of thinking which is warped. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You think, well, but you understand what you're saying. I'm lost, and I'm going to start coming to church. I'm going to start straightening out my life. I know that thing I'm missing in my heart you're talking about. I need to get that joy back. I need to have that rejoicing, that peace. But you ain't going to get it through church membership. You ain't going to get it through baptismal waters. The eunuch thought he could get it some other way, even though the Scriptures was presented to him.
Yep.
And Philip had to back up and said, verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you know what you've got to do? You've got to receive the gospel. You start going out and being a witness to the people, and people say, well, you know, you're right, I need to go to church. You know what you need to go? You know, you need more than church. Well, you know, I need to start living right, treat my wife right, and I need to stop drinking and carousing and living like hell. No, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. You need to let God move in your heart and take it away from the inside out. Nobody's ever cleaned a fish while he was swimming in the water. You got to hook him and get him in the boat and then clean him up. That's the way God works. He'll make you fishers of men. You got to get them in the boat. God will clean them up. They got to get in the body of Christ. God will take care of the rest. We got it all backwards, and we think we'll just straighten them out and change their lives. They're going to die in their sin with a straightened out life. You must be born again. God led Philip to the revival in Samaria and said, I want you to be a witness. God's showing a very important principle in this transition in the book of Acts. Said, hey, it was witnessing that provoked and started. It was in the movement of revival. And it was witnessing that was taking place after revival. Do you know what God wants today? God wants witnesses. God's given you the power. God saved your soul and He left you here to be a mouthpiece for Him. We're ambassadors for Christ. God beseeches you to go forth and spread His message to the world. And we're sitting around having a good time on Sundays. Join Sunday nights and Wednesdays, and between them we're doing nothing for God. And we're missing the mission that God has left all of us. And some of you are around praying, thinking, God, will you show me what you want me to do with my life? Will you lead me? And God's saying, hey, go tell somebody about me. That is the mission for everybody. And we're looking for some great, grand, lightning, showish call in our lives, and we're not even taking care of the very practical that God has left everybody to do. Are you a witness? Why not? So I don't know what to do. Well, just start listening to God. Live right, get serious, and labor and load people with Jesus Christ. Let the world know what Jesus done for your life, He can do for theirs. You're here and you're lost, right? You still don't know the Lord. We're glad you're here today, but you know what? You're going to die in your sins and go to hell unless you get born again. And God will take your sin away. Stop searching for it. You're not going to find it out there in the world. You're not going to find it in a girl or a boy or entertainment or media or money or drugs and riotous living. It's only going to be found in Jesus Christ. The righteous eat it to the satisfying of the soul. And the belly of the wicked shall want. In your want today by coming to Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You've